to good evening, everybody, and welcome to our House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, March 13, 2018, just a couple of minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. We're going to go ahead and jump back into our study of the farewell address from President Washington tonight, and we'll bring the Senate in here in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Feiner at the I'll volunteer to open us prayer.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Almighty Creator, our Father, we come before your throne to reverence your holy name and have faith in your plan of salvation, salvation of individual and of country. We pray for divine protection for our military and all those serving you that are in harm's way, O Father. We pray the protection of Psalms 91 over them and decree and declare that there is no harm that can come to them or us with your divine protection, Father. For we fear not power over flesh, only power over our soul. Since all souls belong to you, Father, we are not afraid of the adversary, because Jesus gave us power over all our enemies in his holy name. So shall we be bold in your word, O Father, and do your will to the glory of your holy name, with the support of thousands of your holy angels. And we know, Father, that only one of us and you make a majority. So help us to make a difference in this spiritual war of power and principalities, Father. We know that freedom isn't free, and we also know that evil is powerless when the good are unafraid. So we open this session of Congress with this appeal to heaven, Father. May we be useful to you and a blessing to the American people we serve, Father. We pray all these things according to your will in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who took away the sin of the world. Amen.
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 All right, with that, I'll go ahead and yield to Liz to do our roll call tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'll begin with Representative Mike Ackerman.
Representative Ackerman of Colorado is present.
Thank you. Representative Andrew Phil.
Andrew is present.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Mark Binder.
Representative Mark Binder from Iowa is present. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Charlie Alfaro. Representative Joseph Goodman. Representative Doug Reed.
Doug Reed is present.
Thank you. Representative Robin Cox.
Representative Robin Cox is present.
Thank you. Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
And Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt is from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I show that we have 7 representatives present representing 7 states. Thank you, and I yield.
All right. Thank you very much, Liz, for doing our roll call tonight. The Senate is ready to join us tonight, so I'll go ahead and bring them in at this time. How is the Senate tonight?
Senate is doing real well, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for having us. We're present and ready for the training.
All right. Very good. You timed it just perfectly. We were finishing up our roll when you said that you're ready to go, so things work out very well in that regard, and I'm anxious to hear David speak tonight as well, so I'm going to go ahead and yield to David Hertler for our teaching tonight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Senate Admin Adams from the great state of Wisconsin, all you fine senators, and all you fine representatives showing up again. My hat goes off to you. I salute you, and I salute you, America. To all those in the gallery, Liz, another fine job again tonight. You know, in the last week, what God has got me doing now, boy, I am so convinced that this is bigger, what we're about with the Republic is bigger than we can even imagine. America's Republic is huge. It's God's kingdom. It's an amazing thing. The things that I'm discovering about an independent state, the things I'm discovering about the history behind this great republic and how we lost this republic. And another thing, not to pat myself or my wife on the shoulder, but the things that I'm hearing on news media, not the mainstream, but the YouTubers, you know, the ones that we're following right now concerning deep state and President Trump and Q and all that. And anyone that you might listen to that knows what, let's say the red pillars, if you will. It's obvious to me that most do not know about us. Most do not know that there is two governments. They don't know that we re-inhabited, and that's why they need the books. They're oblivious. They're still using the word democracy, and it would seem that they believe that this jurisdiction that Trump is president over, who is an executive in an executive government, if you will, they seem to believe that that particular entity, that particular government can be still fixed with their constitution, with their 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. They believe, the way it sounds to me, they don't know about our Constitution and our 13th Amendment. They don't know what we're made up. They don't know what our foundation is. And so this is bigger. When we get that chance, keep spreading the word, Congress. Keep spreading the word, who we are, what we're about. Because it's going to get out there, and when it does, America is going to be all ears. I think we'll have their attention, and I'm looking for book sales to climb. Okay, having said that, we're going back in the study that we left. We didn't get into it last week, and what I'm looking at here is Roman numeral 9, and we're going to C, and I'm going to read the outline of C. That would be 1, 2, and 3. So if you're following me on your outline, here we go. C says 1, 2, and 3. Says, passionate attachments produce a variety of evils. 2, these attachments will lead you into quarrels and wars. And number 3, they will also lead to favoritism, conceding privileges denied to others. So, if I start getting into the actual farewell address, I'm going now to starting with, on the bottom of my page, so likewise. I hope you can follow me here. So, likewise, a passionate attachment of one nation for another produces a variety of evils. Sympathy for the favorite nation facilitating or assisting the illusion of an imaginary common interest in cases where no real common interest exists, and infusing into one the enmities or the hostilities of the other. Betrays the former into a participation in the quarrels and wars of the latter without adequate inducement or influence. Inducement could be influence or justification. I'm going to start at the top, and I'm going to go through that again. Let's review that. So likewise, the passionate attachment of one nation for another produces a variety of sympathy of the favorite nation, assisting the illusion of an imaginary common interest in cases where no real common interest exists, and infusing one of the enmities or hostilities of the other, betrays the former into a participation in the quarrels and wars of the latter without adequate inducement or justification. Inducement would mean influence or lead to action. Okay, let's go on now a little bit here. It leads also to concessions to the favorite nation of privileges denied to others, which is apt, undoubtedly, to injure the nation making the concession by unnecessarily parting with what ought to have been retained and by inciting jealousy, ill will, and a disposition to retaliate in the parties from whom equal privileges were withheld. Okay, I'm gonna go back up the top, and I want you to comment. I'm gonna go back to where I started, and I'm gonna ask for your comments. Here we go again. So likewise, a passionate attachment. A one nation for another produces a variety of needs. Sympathy for the favorite nation, facilitating or assisting the illusion of an imaginary common interest in cases where no real common interest exists, and infusing into one of the hostilities of the other, betrays the former into a participation in the quarrels and wars of the latter without adequate inducement or influence or justification. It leads also to concessions to the favorite nation of privileges denied to others, which is apt doubtedly to injure the nation making the concession by unnecessarily parting with what ought to have been retained, and by exciting jealousy, ill will, and disposition to retaliate in the parties from whom equal privileges are withheld. What say you, Congress? Not everybody all at once.
This is Representative Mark Viner. May I have the floor?
Okay.
Thank you. I believe what he's telling us is you should have your nation's best interest first. And if you make alliances with other nations and you don't do it equally, or you don't treat each nation equally or as they treat you, then you're going to get caught in some of their turmoil when they're not getting along with the nation, say, beside them or with that type of problem. So you're going to get involved in the quarrels of the nation that you like, and you're going to be even harder on the nations that you don't necessarily like. And I guess it's trying to say everything in moderation, and think of yourself first. And I yield. Thank you.
I like that, Representative Binder. I like that really much. Any other comments on that? Anybody in the Senate? Anyone in the House? Okay, let's go on. I like that. That was a great summary. Thank you, Representative Binder. Okay, we're going to start. And it gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens who vote themselves to the favorite nation facility to betray or sacrifice the interests of their own country with odium. Now, help me with the words here. I'm looking up odium right now. A strong dislike for something, it's disfavor. So we could put without disfavor. Sometimes even with popularity, gilding with the appearances of a virtuous sense of obligation, a commendable deference. Okay, we could look up deference, and we will get yielding to the wishes of another. Consideration, we could put consideration in there for public opinion, or a laudable, you can look up laudable, if you have it, speak out.
It's deserving approval or praiseworthy.
Okay, could put praiseworthy, zeal for public good, the base or foolish compliance of ambition, corruption, and infatuation. Okay, I'm going to do it again. Start at, and it gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens. In other words, we're attaching to what Representative Binder summarized now. And it gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens who devote themselves to the favorite nation facility to betray or sacrifice the interests of their own country with odium. And odium is disfavor, sometimes even with popularity, gilding with the appearances of a virtuous sense of obligation. A commendable deference, which is yielding to the wishes of another or consideration for public opinion, or a laudable, and Representative Binder had that one, and it's deserving approval, praiseworthy, or a praiseworthy zeal for public good, the base or foolish compliances of ambition, corruption, and infatuation. Anybody want to comment on what I just finished up here? We're finishing up on C, 1, 2, and 3. Let me read this. I'm going to read the outline again. Passion and attachments produce a variety of evils. These attachments will lead to you into quarrels and wars. And the last one, they will also lead to favoritism, conceding privileges denied to others. Okay. Anybody want to comment?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, from the great state of Wisconsin, Representative Schmidt, you have the floor.
Well, the ambitious, corrupted, deluded citizens, that describes the Rothschilds to a T. And this is some of the methods that the Rothschilds use for instigating wars and then finding ways to profiteer off all sides of the war, of the wars. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt. And we see, with the deep state, we see the infiltration of the Luciferians in this corporation that we've had for ages. We see, we understand what we're reading here, don't we? Any comment? Okay. All right, thank you, Representative Schmidt. All right, so now we're gonna venture on out. We're going to D, and I'm going to read. There's 4 under D. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to go into the reading. It's one paragraph, basically, here. All right, here we are. Foreign attachments. I'm on D now. Foreign attachments are alarming because they open the door to foreigners who might, number one, tamper with domestic factions, two, practice the arts of seduction, three, mislead public opinion, four, influence public counsel. Going to the reading, which encompasses 1 through 4, as avenues to foreign influence in innumerable ways, such attachments are particularly alarming to the truly enlightened and independent patriot. I'll read that again. As avenues to foreign influence in innumerable ways, such attachments are particularly alarming to the true enlightened and independent patriot. How many opportunities do they afford to tamper with domestic factions, to practice the arts of seduction? And the meaning of seduction is the act of leading away from proper conduct. It's misleading. To practice the arts that are misleading, to mislead public opinion, to influence or awe the public counsel. Such an attachment of a small or weak towards a great and powerful nation dooms the former to be the satellite of the latter. Okay, I'm going to read the outline again. We're going to 1 through 4. It's tamper with domestic factions. It's practice the arts of seduction. It's mislead public opinion. Influence public counsel. Now I'm going to go through that paragraph again. As avenues to foreign influence in innumerable ways, such attachments are particularly alarming to the truly enlightened and independent patriot. How many opportunities do they afford to tamper with domestic factions, to practice the arts of seduction, to mislead public opinion, to influence or awe the public councils. Such an attachment of a small or weak towards a great and powerful nation dooms the former to be the satellite of the latter. Okay, what say you, Congress? Any comment?
Any comment?
This is Representative
Ackerman,
Colorado, if I may have the floor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think these statements that we're reading here are just exactly what we've seen happen to our country over the past couple of hundred years since its founding. It didn't take long for factions to start moving and influencing people to get what they wanted out of the government. And obviously it's very difficult to continue to keep yourself independent from such influences and work as best you can for the benefit of the entire country as a whole. And I yield.
Thank you very much, Representative Ackerman.
This is John.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
I kind of hesitated on making a comment, but I think that I will after all. And everybody's kind of touched on it with what, you know, you've been speaking, what the representative's been talking about. But at that in lies the issue. When you have a corporation in control of something, it always looks to make a profit. And if you're, that's the bottom line to what you're doing and translating that into the present system that's out there, if profit's all you're after, it doesn't really, it's not really conducive for people to be in that kind of a situation, because profits are not the most important thing to people. In other words, people's best interests are not served, always making a profit. And we've heard many times that that's what this particular entity is doing off the American people. I yield.
Thank you very much, Speaker. The love of money is the root of all evil, and I'm seeing that everywhere I look, looking back in history. You know, when I look at this paragraph and what our teaching tonight, you know, I go back to the colonies. I go back to 1765, the Stamp Act. Before that was the Sugar Act. You know, there was taxes without representation. You know, after the Townsend Act, of course, the Intolerable Acts came out after the Opium Party, if you will, took place, where they blockaded the ports. You know, the Tea Party, you know, we were getting our tea from Holland, which was undercutting the British. The British thought that we had to buy all of our tea from them. And so their tea was getting stale on the shelves, because we were getting our tea from another country. So what did they do, of course, in, you know, seduction, if you will? They tried seduction on us. They wanted to sell the tea at a lower rate, but they incorporated a tax on the tea, and the colonists, Sam Adams, caught it. They saw what they were up to, and thus, on three ships, they unloaded the opium in the tea. So you're right, Mr. Speaker. I see the same thing you do. That's what's so beautiful. And, you know, here's the thing. Here we're talking about the father of our country is speaking a great speech here. And, you know, we're supposed to have representatives that have conscience and that want to run they want to represent their state. And, of course, the state assemblymen want to represent their districts. And they want to serve the people. And that's what separates us. That's going to be what we're going to preach when we get that chance. These people that are not serving, but they're making money hand over fist, showing up in Washington, D.C. every day. They're not serving the people because that's not a Republican form of government. So there's going to be a night and day difference here, and we're going to have to learn something from this here farewell address. And we have to know that we know that we know that we can't be repugnant to the Constitution, which means we can't be repugnant to the Word of God. Is there any other comment?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
You have the floor.
Another thing, we talk about the corporations. Well, when a private foreign corporation owns the currency of a nation and charges the nation interest for the usage of that currency, it has a complete stranglehold over the entire nation. That's the first comment I wanted to make. And also another thing, you get back to the tea and the opium, and that there, the tea was a loss leader. It didn't matter if they could give it away for free, when they're making how many hundreds of times more profit on the opium.
Yeah.
Because, I mentioned before, it was like, the tea was like maybe that was thrown in there, it was $50,000 or $70,000 right around there, where the opium was like, I think, what was it, about $2 or $3 million. So the tea is just an afterthought. And with that, I yield the floor.
Very well said. Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Any other comments?
This is Representative
Go ahead. Thank you. I just wanted to say that there's also a biblical lesson in this, and that's when God was telling the nation of Israel after they were saved from Egypt not to mix with certain other races, because their culture would influence and cause them to idol worship and that type of thing. And I think that kind of applies here as well. If a country entertains another country and becomes friends and becomes close and becomes, I don't want to say intimidated, that's not the right word, becomes persuaded to do certain things, then it opens up a whole new can of worms to invite other things that are foreign to that country in, which may or may not be a good thing, and usually is not. And that's a yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Binder. Very well said. Very well said. Okay, I'm going to... Anyone else have a comment? Okay. I'm going to E now, and there's only one statement here in the outline. It says, foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. Foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. So let's go to E. Let's read E. Follow with me. Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure... Conjure is meaning to call upon or entreat solemnly or call upon. So against the insidious will of foreign influence, I call upon you to believe me, fellow citizens. The jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake. Since the history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. Okay, we can give baneful a definition here, I believe. Baneful, it's causing death, destruction, or ruin. It's harmful. Okay, but that jealousy to be useful must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of the very influence to be avoided instead of a defense against it. excessive partiality for one foreign nation and excessive dislike for another cause those whom they actuate. Actuate means knife-like or cutting, to see danger only on one side, and serve to veil and even second the arts of influence on the other. Real patriots who may resist the intrigues, look up intrigues here, intrigue is secret schemes or plots or affairs of the favorite, are liable to become suspected and odious, while it tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people to surrender their interests. So let's go. What are we saying here? We're going to the outlines. This foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. And we established that baneful means harmful. Okay? So I'm going to go read this again. Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. The jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most harmful foes of Republican government. Okay, let's let that register. But that jealousy, to be useful, must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of the very influence to be avoided. But that jealousy, to be useful, must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of the very influence to be avoided, instead of a defense against it. Excessive partiality for one foreign nation and excessive dislike of another cause those whom they actuate. What did we say about actuate? We said it was cutting. Whom they cutting or knife-like to see danger only on one side and serve to veil and even the second the arts of influence on the other. Real patriots who may resist the intrigues of the favorite are liable to become suspected and odious, while it tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people to surrender their interest. What I say is that when we become a city upon the hill, when we light America and we draw an interest to our country again, yeah, there may be jealousies there. And it's, I think it would be fitting and proper that when we visit those countries, that we gift those countries, I'm not talking about flowers, I'm talking about, you know, showing where we have prosperity now here, and we're giving to those countries there. The whole idea is to be able to somehow make the handshake really mean something, make the bow really mean something. And because, yes, there are countries that, if they see a city upon a hill and they see happiness, they see prosperity, they're going to want to move to those countries. And this has happened before, and that's how come we have so many people from Europe that came over here on the melting pots of New York and Chicago. So what say you, Congress?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead.
I just have a question. You said actuate meant put in knife-like or cutting. I have put in emotion or motivate. That's what I have for the definition. Did you find another one?
Say that again.
For the word actuate,
you
define it as knife-like or cutting.
Yeah.
But what I have is put in emotion or to motivate.
That sounds better. What I got was
kind of water. You've got an echo.
Go ahead. Mr. Speaker, can you help it?
Yeah, the echo is coming from Representative Binder. I don't know if he's going to speak on the phone on or what.
No, we just got a headset. I'll yield, though.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, go ahead, David.
Right, thanks for the correction. So is there any other comments on that particular paragraph?
Yeah, this is Representative David from Wisconsin requesting a floor, please.
Yeah, I welcome your comment. Go ahead.
Well, a couple of things right there. You have foreign corporations owning a lot of the newspapers and the news media and stuff like that, exerting influence upon the corporate government. And then, of course, another part that they're, these also have foreign influences as well, are the political parties, get the divisions between the political parties. And just another area there that foreigners can, exploit, and with that, a yield.
All right. Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Anyone else? Okay, let's go after F here. No, we'll go after, we're after F, okay? I'm going to read from the outline. The great rule of conduct for us, as little political connection as possible. Number one, we should fulfill obligations, then stop. Number two, we should not get involved in Europe's affairs. Okay, so I'm going to read... F. Am I right here? Am I doing this right? Where am I at? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read F. 1 and 2. The great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is in extending our commercial relations. That would have to do with tariffs, I guess. To have with them as little political connections as possible. So far as we have already formed engagements, let them be fulfilled with perfect good faith. Here, let us stop. Europe has a set of primary interests which to us have none or a very remote relation. Hence, she must be engaged in frequent controversies, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Hence, therefore, it must be unwise to us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties in the ordinary vestitudes. If we look up vestitudes, we find changes or variation, or just say changes of her politics, or the ordinary combinations and collisions of her friendship or enmities, which means deep-seated mutual hatred or hostility. I'm going to read that again. But first I'm going to read the outline. The outline is the great rule of conduct for us, as little political connection as possible. Number one, we should fulfill obligations, then stop. Number two, we should not get involved in Europe's affairs. I'm going to read the paragraph again. Listen carefully. Follow with me. The great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is in extending our commercial relations to have with them as little political connection as possible. So far as we have already formed engagements, let them be fulfilled with perfect good faith. Here, let us stop. Europe has a set of primary interests which to us have none or a very remote relation. Hence, she must be engaged in frequent controversies, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Hence, therefore, it must be unwise in us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties in the ordinary vestitudes of her politics or the ordinary combinations and collisions of her friendship or hostility. So, when I see faith, let them be fulfilled with perfect good faith. There's a trust factor here that I'm seeing that we're building with commercial relations. We don't want to rip anybody off, obviously. So when we do trade, there has to be trust. You can count on them. The handshake. So this is what I see here. Anyone else have a comment on this?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting a floor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I see the very same thing. When it comes to commercial trade, it needs to be, you know, balanced out to where it's not destroying the manufacturing sector of one country. You know, just like all these one-sided trade agreements that the corporation is used to destroy our factories. And
yep.
That's one area there. And then you move on, you know, the alliances that there, well, thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, we got dragged into World War One because he was the one who made the alliances with Great Britain and France. And because of that, that's how we wound up in the world, getting into World War One, and with that, a yield.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Very good. Anyone else have a comment on this? How about the Senate tonight? Anybody in the Senate got a comment? Okay. Okay, I tell you what, let's get a fresh start on G starting next week. It's nearly quarter to the hour, and we're gonna get done with G. Looks like we'll get done with G, H, I, and J, and we could move into parts of the conclusion. It would seem that it looks like by the end of this month, we might get back into David Barton's stuff again. I think it's number three that we're going to tackle with David Barton. We finished up one and two. So is there any closing comments? Anybody have any closing comments on what we had tonight? We're gonna stop tonight, and we're going to start with G, so mark it down. We're going to start next week on G. So that would be the 20th. Any closing comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yep. Foreign relations is definitely very much, you know, we need to get that right. You know, if we don't get that right, we're not going to, you know, we're going to continue to be getting dragged into wars and all this other stuff. And, another thing right there, this reminds me of Law of Nations, you know.
Yeah.
Covers quite a bit of that as well. And was that a yield?
Yeah, diplomacy. The word diplomacy just came up in my thinking. we have to show virtue. We have to show class. We have to be filled with uprightness, transparent. Like I say, we have to be trustworthy people and walk uprightly. Okay, Mr. Speaker, with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you, David, very much for that tonight. Lots of good discussion as well. Appreciate everybody that has been involved with the discussion tonight as well. And before we go back into our separate houses with the House and the Senate, does the Senate have any closing comments for tonight?
Senators, any comments? Otherwise, Senator Adams is good. Thank you, David. Good teaching. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nope, looks like the Senate's good to go for tonight. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right, thank you. The Senate's all quiet tonight. I'm sure things are definitely turning around in everybody's mind about what has been talked about tonight. And appreciate you guys connecting up with us tonight, and we'll go ahead and catch you next Tuesday for some more teaching about President Washington, his final address. And enjoy your night and enjoy your week.
Yes, sir. You also. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
All right. Anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Doug Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor briefly?
Yes, you have the floor.
Please interpret my silence during all this previous discussion as agreement with what was said. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Anybody hear anything as, you know, anybody starting to do, you know, whether the military is starting any arrests at all, anything out on the internet or somewhere at all? No. I was just kind of curious, and with that, a yield.
This is Representative Mark Biden. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
The only thing I've heard is Rex Tillerson was actually fired or stepped down, and somebody in the CIA took over the Secretary of State's position. And that's all that I've heard recently, and I yield.
Yeah, that's about the extent of what I've heard as well. Things are pretty quiet, but just because things are quiet does not mean that things are not happening. I think that we will know what is going on after it happens. And don't really have anything really to base that on, but I know we don't need to know everything. We just know that God is in control of what's going on, and in the end, we win. At least I've read the end of the book. At least that's what it's how I interpret it. If somebody interprets scripture different than that, feel free to speak up. But I know we have won the game already, so I yield.
Yes, yeah, Representative Mark Biden, have the floor.
You have the floor.
Thanks. I'm just thinking that the message that was read last call was to basically for the American people to not panic and not be disinformed when it's brought to light what has happened. And so it's best, you know, that everything remain quiet until it really does. And God's still on the throne, so it's going to happen according to his timeline and his will. And God, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Anybody else? Well, if not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative Ackerman of Colorado. I'd be happy to make that motion that we adjourn until the 20th, and I yield.
Thank you.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I have the floor?
You have the floor.
I second that motion.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene next Tuesday, the 20th. And it's been seconded as well. All in favor, say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Before we adjourn tonight, does somebody want to close this in prayer this evening?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what we've learned tonight, Lord, and we ask that you would just help us to keep learning more and more of the way to conduct the government according to your principles. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every representative and their families, and every senator and their family, and all our President Timothy Turner and President James Geiger, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over these, our leaders, over the speaker, and over the Senate admin, and we pray your angelic hedge of protection around each and every one of us and our families, and we pray that you would protect us and bring us back safely to the next legislative call next Tuesday night, and we just thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, enjoy your week, and we will catch you next Tuesday.
You too.
Good night, everyone.